Good evening. Welcome to the Slayer Report. Today is Thursday, June 14th, 2000. I almost fell off my chair when I first read an editorial in the Wall Street Journal by Paul Levy, the former chair of the University of Penn Law School Board and still, trustee emeritus on the Penn Law School Board, apparently a major donor, had been long been the chair for a long period of time. But I just happened, while I was preparing this theme of something big being up, I read his resignation letter, which had gotten posted on the internet. I doubt he expected it to go public. Anyway, he resigned over the relatively new dean of the University of Pennsylvania Law School, removing a professor from the teaching schedule who had criticized university policies regarding minority students. And for me, it's essentially a free speech issue. I don't agree with what the dean did, but one of the things the dean did is he refused to publish the facts about law school performance of minority students. So he, in essence, censored the facts you needed to see whether what the professor was saying was accurate or not. And certainly, you know, I think the board's request that the facts be made public is perfectly reasonable. Now, what's interesting is Mr. Levy did not resign for the last two decades over the bankrupting of a generation or two of students with student loans or a lot of other things that have gone on both in the university or around the university, which I think are much more serious than whether or not this professor maintained their teaching schedule or not. In the process of his letter, what was very interesting is he said many glowing things over the former dean of the law school until about 2 years ago, who just happens to be my brother. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Before I go on, I just want to give you some disclosure regarding my history with the University of Pennsylvania. My maternal grandfather was the dean of Wharton at the University of Pennsylvania. In fact, I was told he was asked to be president, which he declined. My father was a professor of surgery and chairman of the Department of Surgery at the University of Pennsylvania, and was also very involved in raising funds for the university endowment. I graduated from the University of Pennsylvania with a BA in history and then graduated with an MBA from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. I was a member of the graduate executive board of the Wharton School for a period of time and a member of the board of overseers of the University of Pennsylvania School of Arts and Sciences. I was a member of the board of directors of the Wharton Business School Club of New York, and a member of the advisory board of the Wharton School Club of Washington. While I was on Wall Street, I donated a term chair, the William T. Fitz Jr. Term Chair in the School of Arts and Sciences, and I was a founding member of the Trustee Council of Penn Women and raised what was then a significant amount of funds for the council and the university. So in the early 2000s, when I was litigating with the federal government, one of my challenges was that my company's insurance carrier required an attorney to essentially police them, and my uncle was good enough to finance these costs until the company won our case in the Court of Claims and subsequently settled, at which point I was able to reimburse him his financing. During this period, however, the University of Pennsylvania kept soliciting me for donations. I had been writing articles critical of the Harvard Corporation and Harvard management and the policies that they were implementing or promoting that were very harmful, I felt, to the taxpayer, but certainly making the endowment lots of money. There was unfortunately, a very win-lose relationship between, I felt, Harvard management and the U.S. taxpayer. Anyway, I realized it would be very hypocritical to not also at least look at the financial statement for my own university. So the next time that Penn solicited a donation, I wrote and asked them for the last 3 years of tax filings, which are required by law to be public. I received nothing except a new solicitation for donation. So I asked my attorney to write to Penn on my behalf. What I got, instead of the supposedly publicly available tax filings, was a phone call from a relative screaming at the top of their lungs, and I assure you, the meanest and harshest of terms. They had just gotten a call from my brother, who was then the dean of the University of Pennsylvania Law School. She claimed that he had just been pulled on the carpet by the provost of the University of Pennsylvania And if I did not stop requesting the university's public financial disclosure, the relative claim, my brother would be fired as the dean of Penn Law School. Consequently, if I did not promise to cease requesting Penn's tax filings, they would call my uncle and arrange for him to cut me off. Well, of course, the implication was if I lost my lawyer to please the insurance company, I'd lose the insurance carrier covering my legal expenses. And, you know, and then the results would be seriously dire, including not winning the settlement, which I was ultimately able to do. The government owed my company money, and ultimately I got a great deal of that money back. Now, I suspect the reason that my brother did not call is that he did not want to make the request on behalf of the provost. Instead, I don't think it was the provost. I think it was the large donors who funded the law school and the university. I'd be very curious to know. I'd love to get Mr. Levy's opinion on this, or truthful opinion on this. And if the full truth came out on the relationship of those donors with the mortgage securities fraud, subprime mortgage bubble, and growth of private prisons and related gentrification and the criminal efforts to falsely frame me, my guess is my brother's involvement in threatening to arrange for the loss of counsel could easily involve the breaking of one or more laws. You know, not to mention what the RICO statute might find with a true deposition of what really happened. The reality is I never looked at the University of Pennsylvania endowment operations, but thanks to my brother, I did not need to read the financials to know what I would find. I had a pretty good idea based on what I'd seen at the other universities, and I'd never seen fear like that from any university, including Harvard Corporation. The reality is my personal experience with my brother is that he doesn't believe in the law. And that's the kind of person that Mr. Levy had appointed as the dean of the University of Pennsylvania Law School. However, as Franklin Sanders says, he pines for the treats of the tapeworm, which is why I have not spoken with him for more than a decade and don't ever expect to speak with him again. Which brings us back to Mr. Levy's resignation huff. Mr. Levy has not resigned over a wave of financial coup, bailout, and housing bubble proceeds running into Penn. Alan Greenspan is a major donor at the University of Pennsylvania. Mr. Levy did not resign over, as I said, a generation of Penn students being bankrupted by predatory student loan lending and inflated university tuitions. And I doubt if he was involved or if he was told of it. Mr. Levy, as chair at the time, would never resign over his dean conspiring to threaten a former trustee and alumnus of the university to keep university endowment and financial management secrets. Apparently, it's okay to keep the financial management endowment secret, but it's not okay to keep minority performance secret.